Kuf Dalet Omid Aleph, about 15 lines down from the top, the two dots, in a line that starts with the word Nevuv, and this is going to be a study of the Aleph Beis, Alpi Drush, Tzoran Agadato, Amri Le Rabbanon Le Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Asu Dardaki Ha'idno Lebe Midrasha. They're young, apparently young students, young boys, who came into the study hall. And V'amu Mili Da'afilu B'mei Yoshua Benun Lo Itmar Kavasayu. And they revealed secrets of the Torah that haven't been revealed, the likes of which, since the time of Yoshua Benun. The Marsha has an explanation as to why he mentions specifically the days of Yoshua Ben Nun. And let's read a summary of that. He says that Bnei HaYeshiva Ratzu Lomar Bekach Shal Af Gedulaso Hatzuma Shal Yoshua B'Torah, great as great as he was Yoshua in Torah, Lo Nemru Al Yodo Kidvar Me'elu, things that we're about to reveal weren't on this level, weren't even revealed by Yoshua, the great Yoshua. Vatam Shinokat Mimei Yoshua Velo Mimei Moshe Mishum Shemoshe Ben Yoda Kol. The Medrash says that Kol Mashe Talmid Vosik Osid L'Chadesh Nizgalilo. Everything was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ben Yoyada, in his super commentary on the Agadita, adds the following. He says, Bnei Yeshua Ratzel HaGish, they wanted to emphasize that even though during the time of Yoshua there were great Chachamim like Osniel Ben Knaz, about whom the Gemara tells us in Masech the Tmura, Shehichzir, Pilpulo, Kama Alokha Shenishtakhu, Bimei Avlo Shal Moshe, he was able to return Alokhas that were lost. Vegambi Osadar, that was the generation, Shenichnesu Leretz Yisrael, they went into the land, Ve'avir Deretzol Machim, Afal Pichen Lochidshu, Es Osom Achidushim, Sha'omru Hana'orim. So right now we are in the dark as to how these Ne'orim, these youngsters, came up with these tremendous insights that weren't even known at that great door of Yoshua, the door of HaNechnosim Le'eretz Yisrael. And Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, study wisdom, meaning study the Torah. And the remez here is that even a person who, on his own, came up with chachma, he should never rely on his own personal chachma, his own bina, the wisdom that he came to on his own. And the pasuk in Mishlei says, "V'al binoscha al tishan," don't rely on your own wisdom, but rely on the wisdom, the bina, that is transmitted to you by your rebbeim. And that will guarantee that you won't make any mistakes. The Torah here is called Bina in order to tell us that the Limud has to be with Iyun and Havana on a deeper level. That's called Bina. Because the main mitzvah is Amelus Lahamik B'Torah, to get deeper and deeper. And the Beis is a remez to the fact that we should learn the deeper meanings of the Torah, perhaps even Pnimius HaTorah, which is based on a pasuk in Shmos, Mibayis Umichutz. Gimel Dalet, what are the letters Gimel Dalet representing? Gmol, meaning Chesed, Dalet, with those who are destitute. Now, even though Gdmilus Chasodim is greater than Stoka, because it applies both to poor people and vis-a-vis Ashirim as well, but here the Gemara emphasizes the Dalim, because Gemilas Chasodim on its higher level is when it's done with poor people, because as the Rambam says in a number of places, the great mitzvah L'Sameach, to gladden the hearts of the downtrodden, of the Aniyim, and that's a pure mitzvah L'Shma. If you can do that, you don't have to expect, and you don't expect any Gmul, you know, anybody compensating you, and that Gmul Dalim is great. The word Dalim, some interpret, mean even those who are financially sound, but they may be emotionally destitute. My Taima, If you want to understand why is that Pshuta carried the Gimel Gabi Adelis. In other words, if you put the Gimel and the Dalet next to each other, you'll see that the front left leg of the Gimel is moved out, projected towards the Dalet. There's nothing going backwards towards the base. Shekein Dako Shel Gimel Golem Chasam Lorutz Achar Adalim. The real true measurement of a Gomel Chasodim, if his very essence is Gomel Chasodim, is that he runs after the Dalim. He's absolutely inspired and excited and motivated to find these pure people to do chesed with them. And that's why the leg of the Gimel is outstretched towards the Dalim, because the Gimel of Gomel Chasodim is, you know, he's got his foot out there, he's rushing towards the Ani to be Gomel Chesed. Umay time of Pshuta carry the Dalid Legabi Gimel. Why is it that the leg of the Dalid is a little bit stretched out towards the Gimel, right? In other words, it's backwards towards the Gimel. And again, this all has to do with Ksav Ashuri, which is the Ksav in which we write a Sefer Torah. And the answer is Delimtze Le Nafshe, which means that he should present himself. In other words, we don't want to force the Dal, the poor person, to have to run after the Gomel Chesed. And therefore, he should be mamtzi himself. I'm sorry. On the one hand, what I said is true, but there's a flip side, and that is that the Dal should not try to make it hard for the Gomel Chesed to impose upon him that he, the Gomel Chesed, will have to run after him. So the Dal should be mamtzi atzmo. He should sort of present himself to make it a little bit easier for the Gomel Chasodim to find him and to bestow upon him benevolence. Ki hechi, so that's number one. And then, after the pauper makes himself available to the Gomel Chasodim, and he doesn't trouble him, my time I had their ape the Dal's me Gimel, but if you ask me why is the face of the Dal turned away from the Gimel, like the opening part of the Dal is away from the Gimel, and the answer is Delitein Le Bitsina. The Dalid representing the Dal, the poor person, he's embarrassed about the fact that he needs to come on to someone else's goodness and benevolence. So he turns away in a kind of humble way. He's discreet about it. Gehechdo lichsaf mine, shouldn't be embarrassed. And this means that the greatest act of Gemilus Chasodim is when you give charity and you don't embarrass the benefactor, the poor person. I'll give you an example. I know in Yad Eliezer when they bring around the sal, the basket of all the basics, the once a month they give out a basket. And what they do is they ring the bell, leave the basket, and they run away, so that the recipient doesn't even see the donor, the benefactor. And the donor, therefore, is pure lishma. He doesn't get any thanks, any kickback, nothing. And this issue of giving without embarrassing the recipient, that's big in the laws of tzedakah. Now let's go on to the next two letters, the hey and the vav. Zesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have the hey and the vav, that's the name of God. And this is based on a Gemara in Sukkah that says, Aniva ho, that the word ho, the hey and the vav together, is the formation of God's name.
Now, at this point in the presentation, why is it that Hashem's name shows up? So for this, we're going to have to wait for the explanation that's coming around the bend. Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chof Lamed. The letters that follow after Hashem's name are a hint at the fact that a remez, a hint that imata osekein, in other words, if you'll be aleif bina, you'll study Torah, and you'll be gomel chasodim gimel dalid with the dalim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sustain you, and there will be a chen. That's the Zion is from Zonoscha, there will be a chen, a certain grace that God will bestow upon you. And the Tes is from the word Meitiv Lecha, God will be benevolent to you. And this will express itself in Nosein Lecha Yerusha, the Yud of Yerusha. And then finally, the Chaf and the Lamed is Kosher Lecha Keser Li'olam, the Olam Abba. So the Chaf is the Kosher, and the Lamed represents the Olam Haba. Now, what's interesting here is that the Chaf is the Keser, and the Lamed is Olam Haba. And in a sense, the Lamed is Olam Haba because this is the way you read it in a flowing way. So the Nutrikin of Zayin is Zon, of Ches is Chen, of Tes is Meitiv, of Yud is Yerusha, Chof is Keser, Lamed is Olam Haba. And the Ben Ish Chai adds that Zonoscha, that's in this world. But don't think that if God is feeding you, is sustaining you in this world, then your reward for your mitzvahs are gone. But rather, chenos, chenos means miloshemat naschinom. God is giving this as an absolute gift, gratis, without detracting from your merits and your reward. And furthermore, meitiv lecha, which is a reference to ruchnius, to spirituality. She has reka b'torah u'b'mitzvahs. And then v'nosin lecha yerusha. Yerusha means another person's part. Zocha tzaddik, the Gemara says, notel chelko v'chelik chaveru began Eden. He even gets an expanded Yerusha, an expanded inheritance, and a chelik in Gan Eden. V'kosh lecha keser li'olam abba. That means you'll be zocha to the mesibah, the great banquet up on high of the tzaddikim in the next world, where the Gemara says in Brachos tzaddikim yoshvim, Vachoseim Barashayim Venenemi Zivashchina. And the Shalah HaKadosh is perplexed. What about the letter Chaf as a Chaf Pshuta with a long leg, what we call the Langa Chaf? That doesn't seem to register here at all. There's no drusha for the Langa Chaf. So he answers that there are two Chafin which represent or allude to two ksarim at the time that we learned earlier in Peches that Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma, they got two ksarim and they were taken away, but lasid lava, they'll be given back, they'll be replaced, returned. So here the chaf is a remez to kosher lecha keser li'olam haba, and the ne'orim here darshined only one chaf as an allusion to Liosid Lavo, that there'll be two ksarim, one keser that really combines both ksarim. So even though it's one chaf, but nevertheless it really indicates a package deal of two ksarim, for the two ksarim that were taken away at Har Sinai. Now we have Mem Psucha u Mem Stuma. So this is a remez to what's called a Maimer Pasuach and a Maimer Sosum. In other words, there's certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and He taught us and He allowed us and expects us to understand them. But there's certain statements that are totally be'arafel, you know, they're totally behind the concealed veil of mystery. And that's called a Maimer Sosum. So take, for example, in Sefer Yechezkel, we have the Maisa of Merkava. And this is all indicated by the letter Mem. Then we get up to the letter Nun. Nun Kfufa, V'Nun Pshuta. Right, so we have the regular Nun and the longer Nun. And these symbolize Neman Li Adam Kasha Sheba Olam Azet Tzach Lios Kafuf the Anav. So number one, the Neman of Nun Kfufa means that a person who is really reliable, he's a kosher person in this world, he has to personify the mida, the attribute of humility, and that's Kafuf, the bent over Chaf. But if he gets that Madriga, then Neman, and now we're talking about it's reliable for Olam Abba, the world of complete, total reward, Pashut, Vizakuf. You know, the straight line of the Langa Nun indicates that it's absolutely straight, it's absolutely erect, it's something that you can rely on, it's Pashut, and that's going to be the reward for the next world. Then we have the Samach and the Ayin, and that's Smoch Aniyim. Now, of course, the obvious question is, how is Smoch Aniyim different than Gemol Chasonim Lidalin? And what's being added here by the Samach and the Ayin? So one interpretation is that here we're talking about Nichum Avelim, or Nichum Aniyim, which represent anyone who really needs consolation, he's down and out. So we're not talking about financial help per se. And the Marsha claims that this is an even greater level than giving him financial help than Staka. And in the Ein Yaakov, he writes that V'chzaktabo, the Torah commands us at the end of the Sefer Yikra to sustain him, and that's Lahaktim Litmoch B'misha Mata Yodo. So we're talking about trying to save a person before he falls. And that's called smoch, smoch aniyim. It's always greater to give a lending, you know, lend a shoulder to someone before he falls, to get him back on his feet. Lishnachrina, there's another version of exactly what was being said here in the remez of Samach and Ayin. And that's Simonim Asei Batorah, and then Knei Osa. So it means that in order to really acquire an acquisition of the Torah, the best way of doing that is through Simonim that you make for yourself. You know, these are memory devices, and sometimes summaries, and different diagrams, and charts, and so forth. The Gemara says in Erevin, Eina Torah Niknes Ela B'Simonim. And a person always, when he learns, he has to make for himself simonim. And that will help him, number one, as a flowchart to organize his ideas and the shmuos that he hears, knowing who said them. And more important, it'll prevent his loss of memory from forgetting it. So these are very important methods. Then we get to Samachain Pei. And we have two Peis. We have the Pei Kfufa at the beginning or the middle of the word, and a Pei Pshuta, which is the remez here is for Peh Pasuach and Peh Sosum. So let's try to figure out for a second what the Gemara is trying to derive here from the Peh Kfufa, which is the closed Peh, and Peh Pshuta, the open Peh. So it's a little bit not so smooth. What I'm saying is that the pei kfufa is the pei in the middle of the word because it goes around, bends around, so to speak, like a circle in a circle. The pei pshuta is the pei at the end of a word, a longer fei, although again, there is a little bit of a kafuf even in the pshuta, but the most important element in the pei pshuta is the straight long line. And pei pasuach means to teach Torah. Your mouth should be open to share Torah with others, transmit Torah. But only kishe'ena adam acher, if there's no one else who could teach the Torah. But if there is a greater person who could teach the Torah, then pes sasur. At that point, he should close his mouth and let the other person who's gadol mimenu teach the Torah. And the Gemara says in Brachos, bizman shechachmei ador einam arbitzim Torah l'talmidim, if the greats of the generation will not fill this void and teach Torah, then af katan yeshana l'talmidim, then nature abhors a vacuum and the child will teach the Torah. But if they are marbitzei Torah gdolim, then a person should not be notel sror liatzma l'lami l'talmidim. He shouldn't be taking for himself the responsibility to transmit Torah to the next generation, but rather he should rely on those who are greater than him, and that's called a pes sasu. Then we get tzadi, which is kfufa, and tzadi pshuta. And once again, the shape of the tzadi at the end of a word is such that it's basically pshuta, it's basically straight. It's not totally straight. And that refers to, number one, a tzadik kafuf, the tzadik who is humble, bends himself, and the tzadik pashut, in the Olam Haba, in the next world, he'll be rewarded. The Gemara asks about this drush, about the tzadi, haidu, neman kafuf and neman kafuf pashut. We've already interpreted the two pays in the same direction. What do you gain by adding the two tzadis? And the Gemara answers that in the letters of tzadi, hosif l'ha kosif, the Torah is adding kfifa al kfifaso. In addition to the kfifa that he experienced and achieved in the original chaf kfufa, now he has another level of even greater humility in addition to the kfufa, and that is the tzadi kfufa, the tzadi kafuf. Umikan shenitno haTorah limnod rush, bimnod rush, bereses ubanova yisera. So we have a situation in which the Torah is adding another degree of bending for the righteous person. And let's derive from that, the Torah was given with trembling of the head, through trembling and extraordinary humility, that a person merits, through this great humility, the acquisition of Torah knowledge. And that's what the Mishnah means in the fourth parak of Avos. It says, heavy, mi'od mi'od shval berach, or shval ruach. And this is the only character trait in which the Rambam allows you, well, except for anger, but to go to the other extreme. Otherwise, the Rambam always pushes the golden mean. Kuf, now we're up to the letter Kuf, Kadosh, which means that God is holy, and maybe we should imitate God and be holy. Resh, Kuf Resh, Rasha. Now let's look at the tzura of these two letters. Maitaima mahadra pei de kuf mi resh. First of all, if you notice, the kuf is sort of turning backwards, you know, giving its back to the resh, turning its face away from the resh. Now, where do we see that the kuf is turning away from the resh? Truth is, it's the other way around. Really, the resh is pushing its back towards the kuf. I see. The Rashi and the Marsha expands on it. This is what you call a euphemism. Okay, the Gemara didn't want to say explicitly that the kuf, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is turning
you know, it's turning away, so to speak. That's not the way to talk about God. Since the Kuf represents God, the Gemara speaks euphemistically, the point being made that the Kuf does not see the face of the Resh. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani Yochel L'Stakel V'Rasha. Right, the Kuf is turning away from the Rasha, in this case the Resh is turning away from the Kuf, because the Kuf represents Almighty God, and he's unable to look into the face of an evil person. Umaitaima Mahadra Toge the Kuf Legabe Resh. But every letter has crowns on it, or at least some letters have crowns on them, and the crown on the Kuf actually turns in the direction towards the Resh. And the Tag, you know, the a crown of the Kuf is very, very profound. It you know, gives the Kuf a certain kingly shape, because the Kuf represents the Ribono Shel Olam, but yet it's turned towards the Resh. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Kosher Lo Keser Kimosi. I will bind upon him a crown like my own. Notice the sinner should not think that he's out, and that there's nothing that could bring him back in. He should know that if he does tshuva, he will remain at a certain station in the Olam Haba. Again, he'll be punished for perhaps his misdeeds, but Nevgav promises to elevate him as a Baal Tshuva to the highest position and crown him with glory. So you shouldn't think that, you know what, in my lifetime, most of what I did were misbehaviors, and therefore my level in the world to come will be a very low one. No, Hashem is crowning him and telling him that if he does tshuva, is, as the Gemara says, Sanhedrin Mokum Shabali Tshuva Omdim Sham, Tzadikim Einom Omdim Sham. That's the great level that a Rasha could achieve. Ani Koshelo Keser Kamosi. Now the Gemara asks, Umaitaima Kare de Kuf Tluya. Why is that the leg of the Kuf is not attached to the Kuf? It's hanging in midair. And the answer is, the Hadar Bei Li'ail. That if the Resh, if the Rasha does tshuva, he can enter into the Kuf through that opening above the leg of the Kuf. V'leil b'hach. Why can he go around the leg and enter through the opening at the bottom of the Kuf? Why do you insist that he goes into the opening of the Kuf above the leg? Misayel Reish Lakish, this is support for the position of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, might exceed, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk in Mishle, Imla Leitzim Hu Yalitz Ula Navim Yitain Chen? If to cynics he will act cynically, but to the humble he will grant favor. Bali Tame Poskin Lo. It means that somebody who had defiled himself, or comes on the way to defile himself, then Poskinlo, you know, there'll be an opening. He'll find a way to defile himself. But Bali Tire, it's even more than that. It's Messiah also. We can actually open up a door on his behalf. We're up to the letter Shin. After we've learned about Bali Tire, Messiah also. Shin is for Sheker, and Tov is for Emes. My time is Sheker, Makarvan, Mile. Why is it that the letters in the word Sheker are near each other? The Shin is almost touching the Kuf, and the Kuf is almost touching the Resh. So that in the Seder Aleph Beis, these three are next to each other, one after the other. Whereas if you contrast that with the letters that make up the word Emes, then Merach Kon Mili. So the Sheker really is made up of a Shin, a Kuf, and a Resh. And Kuf, Resh, Shin actually are amongst the last four words of the letters of the alphabet. But Emes already goes back to the beginning of the alphabet, the Mem to the middle of the alphabet, and the Tuf to the end of the alphabet, Merach Kon Mili. So the Gemara answers that the Shikra Shchiach, Sheker is very common, and Kushta Lo Shchiach, but Emes is not so easy to be found. And
If that be the case, if sheker is more common than truth, then it makes sense that that my timer, just a second, shikra achadeto kari koi. Ah, right, this is already the next question of the Gemara. Just a second. So in the note here, he quotes the Maral. The Maral says that sheker is 90% of the way. Why? Because let's say, for example, you talk about a person. If you say he's an animal, that's sheker. If you say he's a piece of wood, that's sheker. If you call him a stone, that's sheker. The emes is only one emes, that he's a person, a human being. So sheker is therefore karav el ha'adam. It's closer to a person. And therefore the letters, and that's symbolized, represented by the fact that the letters, shin, kuf, and resh, all appear together in the Seder of the Aleph base. Emes, on the other hand, since it's rachok, it's indicated by letters that go from one end of the spectrum, the beginning of the Aleph base, to the end. My taima shikra achada karekoi. Why is it that the word sheker is standing on one leg, and that's the leg of the kuf? In other words, every other letter has only one leg. L'chol osvios sheba is yesh rak regel achas. So I guess it means that the shin, just one second, the shin itself has three letters, and then the kuf has one leg, three legs. What does the Gemara mean over here? He says, Eina os mevuseses heitev, that I guess the leg of the kuf is not secure. It's like standing on one foot. Umikan muchach shetzorch lasos es tachter tachtes hashin b'tzura chada. Oh, I see. See, I thought the shin was very solid, but he's saying no, that the shin has to have a bottom that comes to a sharp point. So all three letters, the shin, the kuf, and the resh, are standing on one leg. Now let's contrast that with emes. Emes is malaben libune. It's really structured like a levena. You know, you put two bricks and then you put a third brick on top, so it's, the third brick is well supported. Each one of the letters of emes has two legs. One of them is a little bit wider, and that's the tough. But nevertheless, the emes is solid. As opposed to the sheker, we have three letters, all of which come to a point and are standing kaviyachol on one leg. And the answer is the kushta koi v'shikra lo koi. And in the Hebrew translation, he writes that sheker has ein lo kium. Emes is kayemes v'omedes liolam. So emes will continue for all eternity. Now, until now, the Gemara darshened in the name of the Orim all the letters of the Aleph Beis kisei there. Now the Gemara brings additional drushes that the Na'arim darshed in as far as the meaning of the letters of the Aleph Beis, but not kisidron, but rather in a different kind of pattern, which is called atbash. Right, so in atbash, what you do is you make a line, let's say a linear going up and down, of the Aleph Beis, and you make another line of the Aleph Beis, and you connect the two letters that appear near each other. So, for example, the last column will end with a tough, and the first column will begin with an aleph. So when you set up these two, you know, these two lists, as we said, then you combine letters by what number it is on the list, or in the second list, what number is going backwards up the list. So therefore the Aleph, which is the first letter on the right side, will be linked up with the last letter on the left. And the Beis, which is the second letter on the right side, the right column, will now be linked up with the next to the last letter on the left column, which gives you Bash, meaning Bet equals Shin. So it turns out that in the system of Atbash, what does the Aleph and the Tuf stand for? The Aleph is a state. The Aleph Tuf is a statement that God is making concerning a wicked person, and He's saying about a wicked person, OC with the Aleph Tiev, he abominated. As Avelo, shall I desire him? Question mark. And then Bash is the abbreviated form of Bilo Chashak Shmi Yochel Olav. So the Bay stands for B, me. He did not covet me. He had no desire to be connected with me, says God. Ishmi, should I rest my name upon him? Question mark. And then we have the Gimel, which connects with the Resh. And that's going to be Gufo Time Arachim Olav. He defiled his body, that's Gufo. And now I should have mercy on him. The Resh of mercy is Rachim. And then you get to Dalet and Kuf. And that stands for Dalsosai Noal. He locked the doors for me, says God. Is Karnov Lo Agadea? Question mark. Should I not break down his Karnayim, you know, his pride? Adkan Midas Rishoyim. Avol Midas Tzadikim. Atbash, if you want to know how God relates to the righteous people in Atbash, then you read it like this. Im ata bosh, as if you're someone who is embarrassed by sin, so you have the Aleph and the Beis, is gardak, the Gimel, which connects with the Resh, and the Dal with the Kuf, and that means im ata osakein gur bidok, you will dwell in the heavens. And then the hey connects with the tzadi, the vav with the pei, hatzpa, hatzvap, is chatzitza havi bein chola af. Af here anger, represents the anger of Hashem. And Hashem is promising that there'll be a barrier, a chatzitza. Again, the hey here switches over to a ches, so it's hatz becomes chatz, which is a chatzitza, between you and my divine wrath. That's how God is going to protect the tzaddikim. Then the Zion links up with the ayin, the ches, with the samach, the tes, with the nun. And you read it, v'einata mizdazea min ha-satan. Then you don't have to worry and tremble because of the satan. Because of the prosecutor that might want to prosecute against you on high. And basically, if you're ashamed of sin, that's a manifestation of your fear of God. So not only will you be zocha to schuyot, to rewards, but you'll also be protected from the wrath of Hashem. Hashem will have mercy. And that might mean also that you'll, through divine mercy, you'll be saved from the satan, from the temptation of the satan. And that's like habo litar mitarin oso. Then we get to Yam Kol, so that the Yud connects with the Mem, the Chof with the Lamed. Omar Sar Shal Gehenim, the minister of Gehenim, declares, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch, in the presence of God, Ribono Shel Olam, Layam Kol, all the sinners should be cast into Gehenim. And basically Gehenim is referred to as a sea, which all will go into, because people have to be purged of their sins. So the minister of Gehenna argues that all sinners should be cast into the sea, and there won't be any special treatment for the Jewish people. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but God replies, and he says, Achas Beta Gif.
to what's a chas b'ta gif. Ani chas aleim ipnei shebatu b'gif. I'll have pity on them because the Jews rejected gif. Gif is a symbol of adultery, because the Aramaic word for adultery is gif. And the chatz, which is the Dalid, Kuf, and the Tzadi, is Rabim, is Dakim, Heim, Bonim, Heim, Tzadikim, Heim. They're Dakim, which means they're innocent, they're clean. They are Kanim, they're upright, they're honest. They are Tzadikim, they are righteous. Halak, which is the Hei Lamed Kuf, is Ein Lecha Chelek Bahem, meaning the Rishoyim have no part in this. And not only that, it means that Gehenim cannot control the people of Israel. They are free of Gehenim as long as they fit this description of Dakim, Bonim, Tzadikim. Ein Lecha Chelek Bahem, Umeraz, and then he has Umerazon Shas, Veraz, Vem Arizon Shas, which is the Vav, the Mem, the Resh, the Zion, the Nun, the Shin, and the Tav. Omer Gehenim Lefanov. Gehenim comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam. Mori Zneni Mizaro Shel Shes. My master, feed me, right, Zuneni, from the seed of Shes, mean from idolaters and Jews, both alike. So Shes was Adam Arishon's third son. He was also the forefather of Noach. And therefore all of mankind descended from him. So the Jews are included here, together with the seed of Shes. Omer HaKadosh Baruch again replies to the claim of the Satan, or Gehenim in this case. And he says, Aleph Lamed Beis Mem Gimel Nun Dalet Samach, Leheichan Olichem Legan Hadas. To where will I lead the Jews? To the Garden of Eden. Hey, Ayin Vav Pei, Omer Gehenim L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Oyefa Nochi, which means I'm faint because I'm hungry, I want to get my victims, is Datz Chak, meaning Zayin, Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf, Halolu Zaroshel Yitzchak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Gehenim, and says that these are the offsprings of Yitzchak, and you cannot take them. Tar Yash Chaf Tuf, Tar Yeshli Kitos Kitos Shel Ovdei Kochavim. In other words, wait, I have many groups of idolaters, and I'll give them to you. Ani Nosein Lachem Lachos. If you're hungry, don't worry about it. And this, my friends, concludes the Agada to the Aleph Beis, and takes us on to Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, the Mishnah of Ksivas Shtei Osios, which Amir Hashem will pick up tomorrow.